important topic in the Bible. And today's message I've captured, speak light to your darkness. Somebody say, speak light to your darkness. Speak light to your darkness. Can we have it on the screen? Speak light to your darkness. And we'll be looking at so many scriptures. And within this few time, what God wants to bring to his children. The word of God is preached to everyone. But when the word of God comes, sometimes it has impact on certain group of people that God sent that word to come forth to reach. And you can be that part of that group if you are expecting something from God, because you are a child of God. Christ came to die for you and me. So you have the right to receive from God. Everything that you are is Christ Jesus. Not your pastors, nor your leaders, nor the government, nor the prime minister. It is about you and your relationship with Christ Jesus. And if you believe in that, every darkness in your life can give way. Hallelujah. So let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Every Bible-believing Christian will know Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. And I read some excerpts. Genesis 1. And I read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. When I'm reading Genesis 1, at times I wonder, so when God was creating heaven and earth, where was he? But you got to know that the God we serve is beyond the reach of time. The heavens cannot even contain him. So if he said that in the beginning was the, and God created the heavens and the earth, where was he? Because he is outside of time and he created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. So if you have God, who is your daddy, who could create heaven and earth outside of time and call them to being, then nothing is impossible for this God to do in your life. Hallelujah. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless. The earth was what? Formless. And empty. So God created the earth and it was formless and empty, void. So something came into existence, and Bible said that it was formless, empty, void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, when things become so bad in our life, and sometimes it does happen, sometimes it happens in our life that the whole world is crumbling around us. There's darkness. You have Christ in you, you have God, but sometimes you feel that darkness is all around you. And when we talk about darkness, we don't literally mean that, you know, physical darkness, that when we shut all the light, there is darkness. Yes, absence of light is darkness. But when the Bible is talking about darkness, Bible is talking about sin. Bible is talking about situations that is beyond our abilities. We've done everything that we have to do as humans. We've cried unto God. We've done so many things. But yet, it doesn't seem to move. So in Genesis, when God, you know, was creating the universe, Bible said that when he created our earth, it was void and empty. God. And do you remember that one day in the ministry of Jesus, he prayed for a blind man, and the blind man began to see men like trees. God prayed. Jesus, God prayed. And he said, what do you say? He said, I see men like trees. And Jesus prayed again, and now he began to see clearly. Hallelujah. So in Genesis, God created, but the moment God saw that the earth was empty and void and darkness covered, he saw an element of the hand of the devil at work, an aspect of him, the Spirit of God began to move. One of the atmospheres that you don't have to miss as a child of God is in the church, the ecclesia. And last Sunday, Pastor Jonathan taught a little bit about the church. In the church like we are here, where two or three are gathered in his name, the Spirit of God hasn't got any choice than to begin to move. And Bible says that the Spirit was moving over the surface of the earth. And once the Spirit began to move, it stirred up something within the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is God. Jesus, being the Word, was there. The Spirit was moving, and darkness had covered. And Bible says in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Hallelujah. So you could see that in Genesis, in creation, we believe as Christians that the God we serve is three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And we could see in Genesis that when there was chaos, we saw the Spirit of God moving, all right, making sure that what God intends for the universe will come to being. And when the Spirit of God was moving, God was forced to speak. And when God spoke his word, who is Jesus Christ that we believe in. And the moment Jesus came into the scene, there was light. So what do you do when things are crumbling around you as a child of God? What do you do if you have a situation, you have this sickness, you've done everything, it is not moving. You have this financial burden, you've done everything in your capacity as a human being, nothing is changing. You are a student, you want to have straight A's in your academic, nothing seems to be moving. What do you do as a child of God? How do you approach the situation? Now, in the Bible, when you read, I think, 2 Samuel, there was a time that David and his team of soldiers went out to attend to a situation. And Bible said that when they came back, all the city had been ransacked. The enemy has come in and seized everybody within the city. Their wives, their children, their possession, everything was gone. But yet, David and his men went to do the work of God. They know that God had their back, but God still allowed that situation to occur. And when they came, they all began to cry. They began to cry, and they began to tell David that it is your fault. Sometimes when you are going through certain things, you begin to point to the next person that it is because of you that I'm going through that. Had it not been you who is saying this, this thing would not have come to me. And they were accusing David, and Bible said that they wanted to stone David to death. But all of a sudden, God worked out a miracle within David, and Bible said that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And all of a sudden, David began to get strength and supernatural ability, and he began to look unto God, and he cried unto God, and he prayed to God, and he said that, God, if I pursue the enemy, will you give them unto me? And God said, go pursue the enemy. And the moment God spoke his word, he spoke Jesus forth to David, and David believed in the word of God, and he marshaled the same people who wanted to kill him, who wanted to stone him, and they pursued the enemy, and Bible said they were able to recover. Say, recover. When things are crumbling down around you, when things are not working the way you want it to work, it is good to cry and to share your burdens with man. But if you share your pain with man, man doesn't always have the solution to take away your burdens. Man can empathize with you and sympathize with you, but may not have the ability to take it away. But one of the things that you need to learn to do is to go to your Father in prayers and cry unto him. That is the only way that you can have courage over the situation. So this morning, when things are going round around you, what do you do? We want to go through scriptures and look at some of the things that we need to do. One of the things that you need to do as a child of God, when there's darkness all around you, when things seem not to be moving, is to learn to speak to the darkness, hear the word of the Lord. The only voice that the devil fears is the word of the Lord. Yeah, Hallelujah. The only word or situation or power the devil fears is the word of the Lord. If you will learn to speak the word of the Lord to the situation, that situation will begin to bow. And let's look at Ezekiel 36. You see, Ezekiel learned that mystery, and some of the prophets of old, they learned that mystery. So they learned to speak, you know, the word of God back to situations. And the moment they began to speak the word of God, I hear the word of the Lord, things began to shift. You need to believe in this as a child of God. It does not mean that you will not encounter challenges in life. No, that is not the message. The message from God is, though the afflictions and the challenges will come, you have to master the courage and speak the word of the Lord back to the situation. Now let's listen to Ezekiel chapter number 36. And I read from verse 1. Now 36:1 said, "A son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord." There are certain mountains that stand in our way. Some could be, you know, financial mountains. Some could be challenges in our marriages. Some could be broken relationship. They are mountains. And God told Ezekiel that, speak to the mountains of Israel. Some could be, you know, situations in our society that is, you know, going bad. You know, crimes that we didn't hear of maybe 10 years, 15 years, 5 years ago. We are beginning to hear of them in the society. Things are not going well. They have become mountains and people are crying over it. Now we know that in our economy, we have rental crisis, which has become a mountain because people are struggling to keep up with their mortgages. People are struggling to keep up with their rent. They are mountains. When you encounter some of this situation, what do? All that you can do is to speak the word of God. I said, hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. The enemy said to you, the ancient height have become our possession. Therefore, prophesy and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Now you are not speaking your own word. You are speaking the word of God back to the situation. Because the devil is not scared of your voice. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't have respect for your voice. But the moment you learn to speak the voice of God to the devil begins to give way. You know, when Moses died, we were told in scripture that the devil attempted to pick the body of Moses. And Bible said that an archangel, Michael, appeared on the scene. And when they were deliberating about, you can have him, you cannot have him, then all of a sudden, Michael spoke the word of God that the Most High God rebuke you. And the moment he spoke the word of God to the devil, he gave way. Hallelujah. When things are going the way you don't want it, speak the word of God to the situation. Prophesy to the situation. Because there is power in your tongue. Whatever you say can happen. If you say negative things, you are giving your energy to the devil to feed on that energy to work against you. Sometimes you can be sick. Yes, you know that you are sick. You believe in the doctors, but you have to believe that, God, as I go and see the doctors and I want to go through this surgery, I want to come out healed. Speak the word of God to the situation. Because the devil will always feed your mind with evil so that he wants you to believe that the power of God cannot do anything. Don't believe in the lie of the devil. Because in you is Christ Jesus. And if Christ be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. So Ezekiel prophesied and he began to speak to the mountains of, you know, of Israel. And once he began to speak and prophesy, we saw that all the evil things that began to happen to Israel, there was a shift in the spirit. And physically, it manifested because Ezekiel knew that it wasn't him, it was God speaking to the situation. Learn as a child of God to speak light to your darkness. If there is darkness around you, don't negotiate with the devil. The devil shouldn't have an upper hand on the negotiation table. Come on. Yes. Did you hear that, child of God? So long as you stay here and you have Christ in you, you shouldn't negotiate anything with the devil. Because God created the universe. And he has the ability to reset and reprogram. And if you can co-work with God, it is done. Hallelujah. So that is one thing that we need to do. The second thing you need to do when there is darkness around you as a child of God is to speak in faith and do not doubt. You speak in faith and do not what? Doubt. Oh, somebody will say that, oh, it is easier said than done. We all go through situations. Sometimes never think that everything is rosary around us. No. We've gone through terrible times before. We've gone through situations whereby the devil, you know, nearly succeeded in crushing you. But in those times, you begin to commune with the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden, a supernatural strength enters your spirit, and you begin to speak to the situation, and you begin to command things, and you begin to see that the darkness begins to shift away from you. Look, I have experienced it a lot in my life, and I know, and I've told God that anywhere I find myself, let there be peace and light. And one time I was in the office, and normally I have a place that I sit, and the current job I do is an open office, and we have a particular place. And somebody came there and said that, this area, anytime I come here, I sense peace and calmness. And I said, oh, this person doesn't know what he's saying. Because there's a child of God, there's a child of light sitting over there. I cannot say over there for darkness to reign. You have to, and this is not the first time I've worked with people who have said that, look, anytime I'm working around you, I feel calmness and peace. I said, that is light. I cannot be there for darkness to reign. I cannot be there for darkness to have the way. They will try everything, but I have a Jesus within me who is greater than them. Hallelujah. Because if I believe in myself, the devil will overcome me. But because I believe in Jesus Christ, it is not my battle. The Bible said that the battle is the Lord's, not for you. So believe in that, child of God. The Bible says in the book of Mark chapter 11, verse 23, for verily I say to you, whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things which he has said will come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. And this is Jesus himself speaking. And somebody will say, how can you speak to a physical mountain and cast it into the sea for it to work? Does it happen in our context, in our time? But listen to this. There was once upon a time a prophet of God called Elijah. And Bible says that in the days of Elijah, after King Ahab died, one of his sons took over called Uzziah. And Bible said that he was so evil, and you know, the children of Moabites began to rebel against Israel. And when he was troubled, he fell down from his corridor and he became sick and he was on his bed. And instead of his sending from the prophet within Israel, he was inquiring, going to inquire of another god, Beelzebub. And the moment he took that decision, the Bible said the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And he went and met the soldier and said, go and tell the king that because you didn't believe that there is God here, you are not going to come back alive from that sick bed. And the moment the king said that, he said, look, I'm the king. Who dare you command me? Who is that your god? And he sent his army of 50. So the commander had an army of 50, so 51 people. And they went to Elijah, and he was on the mountain. And he went there and said, hey, the king sent for you, man of God. And Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come from heaven and consume you. And Bible said this wasn't a spiritual fire. This was a physical fire that came from heaven and consume the army. And the king, being proud, sent another captain and another army of 50. And they came, and he said, man of God, come. The king is calling. I say, if I be a man of God, let fire come. And instantly, fire devoured. Now the third group who came learned that we are dealing with someone who knows his power in Christ, his power in God. So when the captain came, he came and bowed down. I see your enemies bowing down to you because they see a power within you. I see the enemy bowing because they can no more negotiate. So Bible said that he came and bowed, said, man of God, please. Now he is using please. Now your trouble is telling you that, hey, I know that you carry power. Please, spare me. Then he began to say, spare me and my men. He was crying. Then Elijah said that you are lucky this time. You are lucky this time. You have acknowledged that there is a God. And Bible said that the angel of the Lord spoke to Elijah and he said that, go. And he went to the king and said that, hey, this is what I said, who God told me to tell you. That because you didn't believe that I exist in Israel and I'm the creator of the universe, you are not going to survive your bed. And it happened. Elijah was a man like you and I. He believed. That wasn't the first time. He was able to command fire to consume in the context of Baal, the prophet. So he knew. But in our days, God, you know, works differently in different dispensations. But we have mountains that we can speak to. If things are not going on in your life, you have the power in Christ Jesus to speak to this mountain. If you don't doubt it, it will happen. Hallelujah. Sometimes I say that if we have so much belief in our doctors, and if you're a child, you have so much belief in your parents, why is it difficult for you to believe that God can heal you? Or if the doctors, you know, perform a surgery on you, that there will be a power behind it and you don't have to go back to them again. I believe in that. If you can believe, it will happen. Hallelujah. The third thing, what do you do when things are crumbling around you? You look up to Jesus. You look up to God. When Israel left Egypt, and they were on the wilderness, Bible said that Pharaoh repented and said that, why have I let these people go? Who is going to serve us and do all these things for us? And Bible said that he marshaled all his army and his chariots, and they were pursuing the children of Israel. They were pursuing them. And when they saw the Egyptian coming, they were scared and they began to cry, and they were crying unto Moses, and they were crying, and Moses as a leader began to calm them. That said, calm down. You know, calm down. There is a God we serve who is bigger than this army. Calm down. But you know, when he calmed them down and said that the Egyptians that you see today, tomorrow, you see them no more, Moses also began to cry unto God. Hallelujah. Then when he cried unto God, God said that, why are you crying unto me, son of God? Why are you crying unto me? Tell the children of Israel to march forward. Bible says that he commanded them, march forward, go forward, confront the situation head on, move forward. Until you begin to move, you will not see the hand of God. And Bible said that God told Moses that begin to stretch your hand to the sea. And the moment Moses lifted his rod and stretched his hand over the sea, Bible said that the sea gave way. And the children of Israel walked on dry land. God knew that there is power in Moses. He needed to just give him that consciousness to act in faith. And the moment Moses, you know, lifted the rod, the situation gave way. God is waiting for you to act and speak to your darkness. Hallelujah. God has put power in you. Jesus Christ's death is not only for salvation. Listen to it. Salvation is the ultimate. That when you die one day, you go and be with him. But that power, and Paul said, if that power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, that same power will quicken your mortal bodies. You have power. We have power as child of God. When you speak, the devil has to obey. Now, Friday, we were two people who prayed, all right, because some had genuine concern. And when I came, 10 minutes, whatever, I was started praying. And I prayed as if we are about 1,000 people over here. Because when I began to pray, I said, look, when I began to pray and I entered into the ranks and I was battling on behalf of the church, and later on one of our sisters joined me, I was praying as if the whole church was full like this. Because to me, I just didn't see an empty church. I saw a church that was full, that were praying, and I saw angels around me and were doing warfare in the realms of the spirit. Hallelujah. That is what you need to do. If you can speak in faith and you not, you know, doubt, then God will act. The third thing, and I'll be wrapping up, exercise your right as a child of God. If you are a child of the king, you don't have to struggle to get certain things done. But like the prodigal son who lost all his inheritance because he blew it, even with him, he realized that if he should go back as a servant, he will have some form of inheritance. Hallelujah. But you are a child of God. You are a son of God. Why don't you exercise that right in Christ Jesus? That I have that power. My father is the king of kings. If the prince or a princess should give you a command and you don't obey, it is equal to you disobeying the king or the queen. Do you know that? Because they carry that power from that lineage. One day they can ascend the throne. So the moment they are ruling in justice and you disobey them, it is equal to disobeying the king or the queen. Because they know that is why royals, they train them and they don't ask anyhow. Because they know they have power. They can end lives. They can turn situations around. As a child of God, do you believe in your right as a child of God? John 1, 12 to 13 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Do you believe in the name of Jesus Christ? If you believe in the name of Jesus, who were not born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's all your belief in Jesus Christ. Believe in it. Confess it. Live it. The situations will come. Don't get me wrong. But if you confront it and you act in faith and you say that, hey, devil, I am a child and daughter of God. I command you. The Bible says that for the devil, one of the things that God has commanded us to do is to cast the devil out. You shouldn't dwell in an environment to see the devil misbehaving and see him misbehave. Once you get in there, you just tell the devil, get out. You don't belong here. Cast the devil out. And once you cast the devil out, you command the devil, you don't have any more place here. Because you cannot kill demons. Listen, the only person who can destroy spirits is God himself. That's why the Bible said, I fear not the man who can destroy the flesh, but cannot destroy the soul and the spirit. But fear the person who can destroy both the flesh, the soul, and the spirit in hell. It is only God, your heavenly Father, who has that ability. So the moment you cast the devil out, you command the devil, move to that place. Move into the sea. Don't come near my dwelling anymore. And the devil will dare not come. He can go and trouble other people who don't know their rights. But for you and your household, minus you. Hallelujah. That is only comes when you exercise your right in Christ Jesus. Enough of the crying, child of God. Enough of memory. Instead of crying and memory, begin to act in faith. Begin to speak to that darkness. Begin to speak to that mountain. And that mountain will obey you. So many children of God are experiencing that. What is different about you that you cannot do it? It's because you don't believe. But if you believe, it will be done. The last thing is look unto God. Look unto God. Look unto Him. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Whatever is beyond your parents, it is not beyond God. Whatever is beyond our politicians is not beyond God. In Goshen, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, Egypt suffered a lot of misery. But God provided for His children in Goshen. Though the economy could be hard, though people are crying, but your story can be different if you confess differently. Hallelujah. Though people are being stricken by, you know, diseases and sicknesses, and they don't know the solution, your story can be different if you believe. I believe. Because His word has said that if you believe in Me, hallelujah, you can cast out devils. You meet the sick, you lay your hands on them, and they will recover. Pray for them and they will recover. He says that if you believe, if you don't believe, it will not happen. If you believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that as I'm preaching His word, healing is taking place. I believe that as I'm speaking His word to His children, you know, yokes are being broken. Because it is not my power. If it is my power, I can do nothing. But because I believe in His abilities and capabilities, I have that strong belief. Otherwise, there's no need for me to be a Christian. It is useless. If I don't believe in God, it is useless for me to confess Christ. But because I know, and I'll give you a testimony about me, then I wrap up with prayer. When I was a young person and I encountered Christ, you see, yes, somehow I'm a little bit intelligent, not super intelligent. Somehow in my class, I did well. But you see, I nearly made mistakes. And in Africa, where I come from, like here, you have state schools, whatever. When you finish grade six, you go to, you know, grade seven. There is the same system. And I made a wrong choice in choosing a particular school that one of my brothers went. Maybe if I'd gone to that school, so many things will go wrong in my destiny. But all of a sudden, God opened a door and I had a good grade. That good grade could have taken me to one of the best schools in the country. But I was blind. I wanted to go where my brother went with all the challenges he encountered. But all of a sudden, that school that God had purposed for me because I was connected to Him, all of a sudden they say, hey, they need, you know, the first five best students from certain schools, certain state schools, to come in there. Then they look at the records. And the head teacher called me and said, do you want to forgo your school and go to this school? Who doesn't like good things? Then I said, really? I didn't apply to the school. Come on, I will go. God changed my story. Because that is where I was supposed to be. Then I believe that the step of the righteous is ordered by God. Sometimes you can make a genuine mistake. But God, seeing the belief you have in Him, will begin to shift things in your favor. And I saw that if I had made a mistake and went to that school that I chose, and God didn't reverse things, things would have gone bad. My brother made it, but he went through fire to make it. I went to that same school. Yes, I learned hard. But if I look at, you know, the blessings associated in going to that school, it would have been different. Because I believe in God. So God had to work things around to change my direction. And here I find myself. God can do the same thing to you. If you have made bad choices in life, just believe in Him. He will begin to realign and rewrite your story. And when people see you and they ridicule you, you will tell them that, hey, I was on that path, the broad way, but He took me from the broad way to the narrow way where I discovered His glory. Do you believe in the word of God? I want you to stand on your feet. And I want you to begin to speak the word of God to yourself and to your situation. I will pray for you, but I want you to command and shift certain situations in your life. The only thing that the devil fears is the word of God. Are you able to, for a moment, the next 2 minutes, 3 minutes, are you able to speak into your destiny? Speak good things into your life. Whatever you desire, speak it. Create something. Let there be light, and there was light. If you are able to speak the light of God into your darkness, that darkness will give away. Speak someone. Speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. The word of God is in you. Begin to speak. I want to hear you speak. I want to hear you pray. Because the power of God is here. Speak it. Speak that into that situation. That situation, that thing that seems to be dying in your life, and you think that all hope is lost. Jesus says, I should tell you, that begin to command those things to shift and they will move. Believe in it. Practice it. Confess it. And it will happen. Father, this morning I'm not speaking on my authority. You sent me to speak hope and light to your children and to the church. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. And at the mention of that name, every knee bows. I speak the name Jesus, and I command any situation that has become a mountain. Mountains, oh God, in marriages, mountains in our health, mountains in our education. Father, I cast them out into the sea. Father, anybody, oh God, who is crying to you for a miracle, for a breakthrough, Father, oh God, let, oh God, your light, the word that you spoke in Genesis, that let there be light, and there was light. Let it be, oh God, that the situation will hear the word of the Lord, like Ezekiel prophesied. And I prophesy, oh God, light over every darkness. Light over every sickness. Light over every yoke. In the name of Jesus. Father, oh God, I prophesy over Life City Church that God, there will be fruitfulness and expansion and multiplication. Everyone under the sound of my voice will see, oh God, your supernatural provision. In the name of Jesus. Whatever good thing, oh God, that you have desired for us, let it come forth now, oh God, and oh God, into the following year. Let it be, oh God, that people will experience, oh God, abundance from the north to the south, to the east and west, in the name of Jesus. Because I believe in you, that if you are not prepared to do it, you will not speak it. And I know that, God, you have not failed anyone. And we are not the first people and the last people that you will ever fail. Because you are the creator and nothing is impossible for you. We give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, give a shout of it unto Jesus.